Good morning. Well, students, welcome. This is great, starting a new school year. Marty wanted me to pass on to everybody. You saw the boxes out there, these joy boxes going to children in Haiti for Christmas. Of course, it's still August. Why are we thinking about Christmas? Well, because we have to pack those boxes and ship them, and by the time they get there, it will be Christmas. Marty, where are you? When do they have to have them back here? Except he turned to his wife, the boss, and she said, September the 16th. So pick up a box, fill that up, and we'll ship those to Haiti. It'll be great to help those folks out in Haiti. I want you to recognize these out in the foyer. You'll see these. We're going to start a lesson series on the Gospel of John in 2 weeks from today. You can pick this up, and you can work through John through the week, and I guarantee you the lesson will be much more meaningful to you when you come on Sunday morning. So pick those up. You can get them by the back door over there or over here. And then a week from tomorrow, you'll begin your reading on those. So if you don't get one today, you can still get one next Sunday. Our elders take prayer very seriously. And so if you feel a need for prayer this morning, a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room, which is out the back doors and to the left. They will meet with you there. If you have an interest in knowing more about becoming a disciple of Jesus and what that means, they will be happy to meet with you about that as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are thankful for new beginnings, a new school year, so many new things happening, new opportunities. And Father, as we reflect on new beginnings and new opportunities, ask Father that you would continue to work on our hearts, listen to our hearts, and then change our hearts as we give ourselves over to you. Ask the blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word this morning. To your Son we pray. Amen. Well, go Lumberjacks, right? Where are the Lumberjacks? Let me see some hands. Come on. Okay. All right. It's great to be a Lumberjack. It's great to be a student. I enjoy being a student when I was a kid. Oh, basketball 101, skateboarding 101, and most especially my favorite class, girls 101. I did just enough to get by every year going through school because that homework and class stuff was sort of getting in the way of all the other things that I wanted to do. But then I went off to college, like these folks have done. Went off to college, and man, things changed. The problem is, I did not change. And so you can imagine that things continued on the same way in terms of my grades for a while. And then I got married. And then things really changed, most especially Girls 101. But I started improving, getting a little bit better. So the situation had changed for me, but I had not changed. And the situation may have changed for a number of you. New school year, new job, new relationship, all kinds of new things. But what about you? Are you new? Luke tells us a story about a man who became new. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Okay, you've been to Bible class. Very good. Zacchaeus was vertically challenged. We know this because Luke tells us he was short and he had to climb a tree to see Jesus. But in another way, he was rather big, a rather big man, because he was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. It worked like this. Let's suppose the Romans want to collect $1 million from Israel, and all of you are Israel. And so they contracted with someone like me, I'll be Zacchaeus, to do that. Well, Zacchaeus is not going to do that for free. He's not going to do it out of the goodness of his heart just because he's a nice guy. He's going to make money off of this. He's going to profit from this. And so he decides he's going to collect $350,000 from this group, $350,000 from this group, $350,000 from this group, and $350,000 from this group. Now, you do the math, $1.4 million, right? Now, I'm Zacchaeus, I've pocketed $400,000, and you guys have had the million collected from you. But I'm too busy. I'm too much of a big shot to be doing all of that myself, so I'm going to subcontract with one person over here. Greg, oh, where are you, Greg? I know you're responsible. You can cheat people good. Perfect. Greg would be collecting over here. I'll get a different one over here, different one. Now, we're going to get them to do that, but Greg, when he goes collects over here, you think Greg is going to just do it with no profit? Well, no. No, Greg's going to do it with big profit, right? So now he's collecting $350,000, but he said, that's not sufficient. I'm going to collect $400,000, Pocky $50,000, the rest of it he'll send up to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus will then send on the rest to. So now you see how it's getting larger and larger and larger all the time. Lots of corruption supported by the Roman authorities at every layer as we get on down the line. So tax collectors were not popular. People did not like them. They were as welcome in Israel as Donald Trump is in Mexico. Nobody likes a tax collector. They are bad people. Who wants to be friends with the tax collector? Well, nobody wants to be friends with the tax collector because a tax collector is cheating you. He's robbing you, number one. Number two, he's one of your own people doing that to you. And number three, he's doing it for the pagans. Nobody likes a tax collector. You have this story in the Gospel of Matthew about Levi, who comes into contact with Jesus, invites Jesus to his home for this big party, and all of his friends come over, and guess who his friends are? Tax collectors! Because he can't get any other friends. Nobody likes a tax collector. They are well hated in their country. But Zacchaeus is a person who longed for something more. You can tell that. Because he hears of Jesus coming, you assume that he knows something about Jesus, and he wants something deeper in his life, so he longs for something more. Why else would he expose himself to the ridicule that he's surely going to face by climbing up in this tree? You know there had to be all these stories and all this talk around behind Zacchaeus' back, all the jokes about his height, right? Somebody says, yeah, I asked Zacchaeus if I could borrow some money, but he told me he was a little short. Somebody else said, did you hear about Zacchaeus' family reunion? They just had a little get-together, right? Why would you put yourself through that kind of thing? Why would you put yourself out there to be humiliated like that? Put yourself out there to be the butt of all of the jokes that people would tell. You only do that if you were desperate. And Zacchaeus is desperate for something more in his life, for something deeper and richer and fuller in his life. Desperate people do desperate things. Scott Wallace, our youth minister, was telling me about when he was a student here at SFA, getting close to graduation. He's got to have this one class, and he goes to register for it, and it's completely full. What's he going to do? He goes down and speaks to the professor about the class, and the professor says, let's walk down and look at the classroom. And they walk down there, and he says, look at all those desks. See all those desks? They're all full. I've got a student in every one of those. There is no room for you in this class. And Scott said, there's an empty spot over there. I could put a desk over there. In fact, I'll go over to the Yale House and get a desk and take it all the way across campus and put it in that corner. And the professor said, you would do that? Every day I do that. Desperate people do desperate things, right? And so he let him do that every day, sitting in that corner, taking notes, finishing out the class. Finally, he said, just leave the desk there. You don't have to keep carrying that thing. But that's the kind of thing desperate people do. They do things like climb trees. So things are not right in Zacchaeus' life, but he thinks that he has found the solution. If you think you have found something, you're really missing something, and you think you have found something, you'll move heaven and earth to have it, right? And Jesus tells us, this guy who finds this treasure hidden in this field, you can imagine, he's gone home, he's putting everything he has on eBay or on Craigslist, he's selling it all so he can have that field, or that pearl, as he tells the story. And so Zacchaeus climbs a tree. And because he's climbed this tree, he's had an encounter with Jesus. And it's not that Zacchaeus wasn't religious because he was a religious person. He was a Jewish person, went to Jewish church. But you can go to church and never encounter the Lord. Jesus went around healing people. He went around feeding people. He went around raising the dead. And how do the religious leaders respond to this? Do they say, wow, this guy's impressive. This guy must be from God. No, they say, by the prince of demons. He drives out demons. Well, why would they say that? It's because they have this idea, this religious idea of how things ought to be and how the Messiah ought to be, and Jesus doesn't fit it, so he must be from some evil force. Jesus' own disciples were the same way. He told them, look, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem and they are going to kill me there. And Peter pulls him aside and says, Lord, no way, that can't happen. Doesn't fit my paradigm, doesn't fit how things, I think, should go. And Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. Plenty of folks met Jesus, but never encountered the Lord. The religious leaders met Jesus. Pilate met Jesus. But an encounter with the Lord means you meet Jesus and then you are open to what He will do in your life. There are some folks in church who have met Jesus but have never had an encounter with Jesus. For some folks, they've got their categories. You've got your school category and your job category and your social life category and your family category. And then you've got your religious category. And that's how it works in your life until it doesn't. Until you have relationship issues, until you have purpose issues, until you have life issues, as Zacchaeus has had life issues. It must be the situation, we will muse to ourselves. If I just could change the situation, go to a new school, get a new job, get a new relationship, then things would be better. But the change that is needed is not a change on the outside, it's a change on the inside. The situation doesn't need to be different. I need to be different. And so Zacchaeus has his come to Jesus meeting, literally, right? And it changed Zacchaeus on the inside. And that change on the inside then brought about this change on the outside for Zacchaeus. This guy is all about money, making money as much as he can. Luke makes a point to tell us he was a tax collector and he was wealthy. But we have this story, this encounter with the Lord here with Jesus. And it seems like if you look at the story, it's hard to know how much this story is compressed. Because it sounds like he meets Jesus and there's this immediate change. It sounds like it goes something like this. Zacchaeus hears he's coming, he climbs up in the tree, Jesus says, I'm going home with you. And Zacchaeus makes this huge change and it seems to just happen in moments. I might try that today. Like, just tell you one of you guys, I'm going to go home with you tonight and see, like, if you give away half of everything. Well, you might say, yeah, but you're not Jesus. Well, there is that, I guess. Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. Imagine that. Imagine that going home. Jesus is going to go home with you. It's fairly impressive because you understand that having a meal with someone in the ancient world, but even today, having a meal with someone isn't just about food. Young ladies, you understand if a guy asks you to go out to dinner with him, it's not just about food, right? It's about a relationship. But who wants to eat with tax collectors? Nobody, because they know it's not just about food. It's about a relationship. And we don't want a relationship with tax collectors because we hate tax collectors. And yet Jesus has said, I'm going to your house. And now he's gone home, gone to his own home, Zacchaeus has, with the best counselor in the world. Can you imagine that? He's now gone home with a guy who knows him inside and out. Can you imagine going home with someone like that? Going home and having lunch with someone like that, someone who really knows you through and through. It's kind of frightening if you think about it, right? Someone who knows your issues, someone who knows your sin, someone knows your fears, your hidden fears, but someone who loves you anyway, even when they know all of that. And then that someone helps you to see all of that stuff in you. why you do what you do, all those hidden fears you have, someone that can help you to see the real you. How many people would pay a lot of money for that? There are a lot of people that already pay a lot of money for that. And so Zacchaeus comes away from that experience, it seems like. He's a changed man. I'm going to give up half of everything I have. Now I want you to think about your own stuff, your money, everything. Give up half. One car or two cars becomes one car. $100 becomes $50, or $100,000 becomes $50,000. Give up half. I think he's a changed man. And then he says, if I have cheated anyone, I know there's some people going, if, but in fact, Zacchaeus may not know, because there is a thing called systemic sin. That is, I'm involved in this activity, this systemic activity that I know really is kind of not good. It's corrupt, but I don't know exactly how people are being cheated. We saw systemic sin take place at the VA clinics last year. Phoenix, Arizona. The manager is reporting to Washington, D.C. that they're seeing this number of patients when in fact they're seeing this number of patients. And people are waiting for weeks and months and sometimes years, and some people died waiting to see a doctor. Why did that happen? It's because up in Washington, D.C., they were expecting them to do this much work with this much staff. And it couldn't be done. And so the way they figured out how to do it in Arizona is falsify the reports. Who's responsible for that? Is the manager? Well, of course. But how about the folks above the manager? Systemic sin. If I have cheated anyone, Zacchaeus, no telling what's happening, because I've got a guy collecting here and a guy here and a guy here. No telling how much they're doing. If I have cheated anyone, I'm going to pay it back four times, he says. He is a chief tax collector. So he gives back half of everything he has, willing to pay back four times. You do not do that unless some significant change has taken place in your life. But change happens in more than one way. Because if you want to be different, you also have to do different. You're going to have to behave differently. Imagine that you're a person that says, I want to be healthier. So you go out and decide to run one time. You say, well, you know, I want to be a better student. So you decide to study one time. Or you say to yourself, you know, I want to be more financially secure and in shape, so you put $25 in a savings account one time. There's not much change, is there? Zacchaeus wanted to be different, and if you want to be different, he had to act different. British researcher said, after much study, that if you really want to change your habits, it takes a minimum of 66 times doing something before you're now in a different habit of how you're going to do things. So that means if you're going to be a runner, you have to go out 66 times and run 66 days. So now you're in the habit of running. Or 66 times be in this habit of putting this money in the savings account. Or 66 times of being in the habit of doing your homework at a particular time for a particular length of time. 66 times so that you can develop a new habit and now you become a new person. You can go into a new situation, new relationship, new boyfriend, new girlfriend, new job, new school. But what about you? Are you any different? If you're going to be different, you're going to have to act and do different. And then you're going to have to keep doing it over and over and over again. Eugene Peterson referred to this as a long obedience in the same direction. And that's even true for old dogs, right? The saying is, old dogs can't learn new tricks. How old do you think Zacchaeus was? I'm pretty sure he didn't get to be a chief tax collector by age 22. He's got to be up there a little bit. But you can't keep teaching old dog new tricks. Usually, why? Because the old dogs don't want to learn new tricks. But if you're willing and you're desperate as Zacchaeus, you really want to be different, then you'll do whatever you have to do to change. So this morning, I just ask you to think about something that you have wanted. I mean, really, really wanted. New car. New boat. New iPhone. Whatever it is, think about what you really, really wanted. You've probably discovered in your life, if you want something bad enough, you will find a way to get it, right? Put stuff on eBay and sell it so you can get some money. Put it on Craigslist, whatever. Take a second job. You will find a way to get it. You'll even climb a tree if necessary. So what you are willing to do really tells you how much you want something. So I would ask you this morning as we close, how much do you really want to be different? Let's stand and sing.